In the past decade, who goes to prison has changed. A smaller percentage of black women are being incarcerated, but that decrease is almost matched by the increase in white women going to prison. That's one of the most striking findings from a new report by the Sentencing Project. Using information from the Justice Department, it reveals a major shift in the demographics of prisons. Mark Maurer is executive director of the Sentencing Project, and he joins us from Monitor Studios in Washington. Mark, would you outline for us what you found about the changing makeup of our prisons?
What we saw in the first decade of the 21st century was a dramatic shift in the racial composition of prison populations. For the first time in nearly 40 years, we saw a sharp decline in the number of African Americans in prison, particularly among women. We saw a steep rise in white women going to prison. And for Hispanics, we saw a rise among women and a slight decline among men. And given the 40 years of the exploding prison population, this is really the first time we've seen a shift like this.
Now, you mentioned you saw a particularly sharp drop among the rate of incarceration for black women. Why do you think you were seeing those differences in gender as well as race?
Well, among black women, it seems that much of the change has to do with a shift in the war on drugs. As some states are beginning to reconsider their sentencing policies for drug offenders, we're seeing some pretty significant reduction in some places. New York State, for example, which has led the country in a decline in its prison population about 25% over the last decade, among women, almost all of that decline was for drug offenses, and of that, virtually the entire composition of that was for African American and Latinas. And I think what's going on there is that just as the drug war disproportionately resulted in incarceration of women of color for drug offenses, so too now as those numbers decline in some states, we're beginning to see those groups disproportionately benefiting from those changes as well.
In fact, your report says that the war on drugs particularly affected women. There was something about the policies of the war on drugs. Why did women often end up in the crosshairs?
Well, I think we saw that for a couple of reasons. One, prior to the inception of the war on drugs, women represented a relatively small proportion of all the people convicted of a violent offense. The offense is most likely to lead to a prison sentence. As the drug war began to take up an increasing proportion of those prison cells, essentially, drug offenses were more evenly distributed by gender than certainly violent offenses. So as we had huge increases in numbers of arrests and prosecution, more women got caught up in that. On top of that, the mandatory sentencing policies that often apply to drug offenses hit women particularly hard in some cases as well, because mandatory sentencing takes away any discretion by a sentencing judge to consider individual circumstances. It meant that issues of women who were perhaps single mothers of young children could not have those factors taken into account. It meant that women who were essentially accomplices for their boyfriend who were major drug dealers, that was rarely taken into account. So whether intended or not, those various sentencing policies hit women particularly hard.
Is one of the reasons that we're seeing lower numbers of black inmates, particularly female black inmates, not just that they're going to prison less frequently, but that many of them are finishing sentences and being released, and that has the effect of lowering the rate of African Americans in prison?
That has something to do with it. I don't know that it's a major factor. You know, as severe as drug sentences can be, most of the people going to prison for drug offense are staying in prison 2 to 3 years, something in that range. So it's not necessarily that many, you know, who've been in for 20 years and are finally getting out. There are some cases like that, but they don't represent the bulk of the drug offenders in prison.
It seems that drug policies in general have really played a role in how the rates are changing. What do you think the changes in rates that you've found tell you about this country's drug policies and criminal sentencing policies when it comes to drugs?
Well, I think there's a growing consensus that the war on drugs has really gone well beyond the point of diminishing returns in terms of having any significant effect on drug use or selling availability. And you know, large numbers of observers now recognize that we have very much of an imbalance in our approach to dealing with problems of substance abuse. You know, these are issues that are addressed by some combination of prevention, treatment, and criminal justice responses. And what we've done over the last 25 years is poured enormous resources essentially into the back end, incarceration, which has really starved resources on the front end. I think that's beginning to change at this point. There's, I think, a growing consciousness among both policymakers and the public that this is not a very cost-effective approach to dealing with the problem. But the situation we're in now is that so many of these policies, the sentencing policies, have become institutionalized. It's very difficult to reverse course in a substantial way at this point.
But there seems to be some recognition that just because you throw someone in jail doesn't mean you're going to reduce drug use rates.
Right. I think what we see particularly is that substantial numbers of people going to prison for drug offense are not the so-called kingpins of the drug trade, but rather the lower and middle level people, the street corner sellers, the mules, the couriers of the drug trade. And what we know about those people in those positions is that they're easily replaced on the street. So the cops come by and they do a drug sweep and they pick up some of the street corner drug sellers. In an awful lot of neighborhoods, it's going to take about 20 minutes for those people to be replaced on those street corners as long as a demand for drug exists in those communities. So we've been filling up the prisons. We haven't necessarily seen much of an impact on drug availability in a substantial portion of those cases.
That's Mark Maurer, executive director of the Sentencing Project, which looked at the changing demographics in U.S. prisons. We'll have more with him after a quick break. And later in the show, the story of the late René Joyeuse. He was born in Switzerland, became a spy for the Allies during World War II, and tomorrow his dying wish will be granted. Back in a minute, here and now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink technical computing software, accelerating the pace of discovery in engineering and science. Find over 200 job openings at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back to our conversation about the changing prison population in the U.S. We're speaking with Mark Maurer, executive director of the Sentencing Project, which looked at incarceration rates by gender and race from 2000 to 2009. Mark, we were just talking about how we've seen the number of African-American women going to prison drop, but we're also seeing an almost equal increase in the number of white women going to prison. Why this rise in white female inmates?
I think we're seeing it for two reasons, probably. One has to do with the drug of choice that's resulting in incarceration. Over the first decade of this century, methamphetamine became a much more commonly used drugs in particular portions of the country, the upper Midwest states, some of the southern states, and elsewhere. And so as arrests and prosecutions rose for that, that was a drug that was primarily involving whites and Latinos and relatively few African Americans. So I think that was part of the shift. Crack cocaine offenses tended to be result in high rates of incarceration of African Americans. It wasn't that they were the only group that was using or selling crack cocaine, but law enforcement was essentially targeting African-American communities in large numbers. And so as some of that began to decline, it happened to coincide with an increase in enforcement of methamphetamine penalties, and often they were severe penalties and involving mandatory sentences as well.
Your report says that a factor could also be socioeconomic shifts that have disproportionately affected white women. By that, do you mean meth or do you mean other things as well?
No, it's more what happens to white women at the lower levels of the socioeconomic ladder, essentially. And so recent research reveals that white women without a high school education their life expectancy at birth has actually been declining substantially over the last 20 years or so, in contrast to other groups. Now, it doesn't mean that Black women or Hispanic women are having an easy time if they're less well-educated, but we're seeing much more of an effect on white women. And essentially, I think what we see is that the decline in life prospects, the factors that contribute to that, are also correlated with greater involvement in crime. So issues like substance abuse, smoking, unemployment, mental health issues, access to health care, all of those result in lower life expectancy, but also put people at greater risk for involvement in crime. And we've seen some very substantial changes for less educated white women in these years.
I want to make sure we point out that although we're talking about incarceration rates for Blacks dropping compared to whites, there are still more Black inmates in prison than there are white inmates in state and federal prison.
Well, yes, Blacks are still disproportionately incarcerated at, you know, very shocking numbers, really. For among women, the disparity in the rates has declined. Black women had been incarcerated roughly six times the rate of white women. Now, with these changes, it's about three times the rate of white women, nonetheless still substantial. And Black men are still incarcerated roughly six times the rate of white men. So the rates for African Americans, the life prospects for African Americans are still quite profound, I think should be very disturbing to everyone. It's just that we're beginning to see some change in those rates.
And if we pull the lens way back, you know, remind us why for you it's so important to keep tabs on which racial groups may be incarcerated at higher rates than others.
Well, I think what we've seen is that the explosion of the prison's population in the last four decades has had a hugely disproportionate effect on disadvantaged communities of color. Research from the Justice Department tells us that one of every three Black males born today can expect to go to prison in his lifetime, one of every six Hispanic males in his lifetime as well, if current trends continue. And these are shocking figures for a country, a society as wealthy as the United States. And regardless of what one believes to be the causes of these trends, whether one views it as individual pathology or societal pathology, this is not a sign of a healthy, functioning community, and I think is really a problem for all of us, not just the families that are experiencing incarceration.
These most recent numbers you've been studying, what do they tell you about the current state of our criminal justice system?
Well, I'm cautiously optimistic about the developments we've been able to track in this study. For many people, I think the severe racial disparities in imprisonment have seemed as virtually an intractable problem. Here, what we're seeing, I think, is somewhat encouraging and suggests that there may be changes in policy and practice, short of creating a new and just society, that can actually make a difference in the number of people of color going to prison. And I think the challenge for us now is to try to understand these developments in greater detail so we can build on some of these successes that seem to be taking place now and have a positive message and some positive strategies for continuing to expand in this direction.
Before we get too enthusiastic about the drop in incarceration rates, assuming that we think a drop in incarceration rates is a good thing, is part of that due not so much to reduced crime as to deliberate changes in policy and practice that mean that fewer people are incarcerated, even if there are the same amount of crimes being committed?
Well, yeah, you know, one thing I think we've learned over many years is that prison populations are much less a function of the actual rate of crime at the moment than they are a very conscious policy decision. And, you know, very conscious policy choices, mandatory sentencing, three strikes and you're out and the like, have been designed to send more people to prison and keep them there for longer periods of time. What we're seeing around the country now, and at least in the early stages, is a reconsideration of some of those policies, and in some cases, decisions being made to send fewer people to prison and or keep them there for less time, with the recognition that this didn't necessarily produce better public safety outcomes.
Mark Maurer is Executive Director of the Sentencing Project. Mark, thank you.
Thanks so much for having me.
Still ahead today, a final resting place in Arlington National Cemetery for a World War II hero from Switzerland. News is next, here and now.